Development organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the choice of hard work, honesty, and integrity. And for more information, make sure you visit their website at www.pactns.com. That's where you can learn more about the organization and you can learn how to become a member of the organization, how you can donate some money to the organization to help the organization, or you can become involved. There's a learning center tab. There's not like a library where you cannot walk inside through the doors, but you can click on the button and you will get resources that you can use to expand your mind, like resources in audio, what you can hear, and resources in politics, what you can read, resources in books, what you can read. Resources and survival, which you can survive, legal cases to go to court, and videos, which you can watch. And they also have a store tab, and if you click on the store tab, you can buy stuff and support the organization. And do not forget to support the organization through Amazon Smile. Like Smile, like the Scarface song, Smile for Me. So Amazon Smile, PACTNS, PAX Inc. So once again, the website is www.pactns.org. That is it. And make sure while you are on the internet, you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrain, like the free train, freedomtrain.com. That way you can learn more about me, Joseph Watt, my friend Patrick, and our other podcasters and all the podcasts that we have on this, because we are podcasting for the future and we like black people and black people like us. Patrick, what do you say, my good man?
Bye, Mike.
What?
I wanted to be special like you.
Hey, you came out of left field. You came out of left field with that Crocodile Dundee. That's not an accent. This is an accent.
G'day, Mike. Crikey. How you been doing this week, Joseph? I don't know. I don't even know if that's how it fucking sounds, but fucking it feels. Right. So fuck it, let's roll.
We don't know. We're going to learn today, man. Everything good with you, man?
Yeah, man. We just opened the door to a whole lot of backlash, so that's exciting.
So hey, man. Hey, man, we can have accents. I don't even know what accent I was using, but it was being used.
It was a combination of a couple of different things, but that's cool. That's cool.
Right. So,
man, I'm alive. You know, I'm in the basement. I'm in the dungeon. You know, for those of you that don't know, I probably sound a little different because, you know, you boys are putting in work right now. You know what I'm talking about? So, you know, but, hey, homeboy came through. Boom, boom, boom. You
Bam.
Know, so we got to do what it do. You know what I'm saying? No cap. Boom, boom, boom. Floss, floss, floss.
12 run.
Right. Leos. Not law enforcement officers, but people born in August.
There you go. Run from all the Leos.
Yeah.
There you go. So, hey, man.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
They still protesting in Charlotte.
You know, they still exercising. Yeah, they still getting their fitness in.
Now.
A little bit.
I think they're still protesting here. But I know there are a lot of marches. They're there have been some marches. I know I was at one the other day. Very spirited.
It's so, been a lot very spirited about City of Tally. It sounds better when you say City of Compton. But
what city you said?
I tried it. City of Tally.
Nah. Don't even.
It didn't work.
Tallahassee ain't song ready yet. And we still in poems. We got to work our way up.
Keep town on the map out there, bitch. With a pretty little bitch.
Yeah, man. Hey, man.
Y'all do got a jump in out the window like I'm Patrick Simmons.
But on a serious note, as far as music, though, other than T-Pain, the homie Royce Lovett comes out of Tallahassee and he make good music. He's a singer. He got some bars and he make good music. He was on The Voice and he's doing this thing. So I guess in another person, George Clinton, because he's from Lloyd. No, that's like right outside of Tallahassee. He's still Leon County. So So we got three.
Tallahassee heroes.
I'm talking about George Clinton, T-Pain, and Lloyd, and Royce Lovett. Oh yeah. Half of the Dead Prayers. I think Stickman from Woodville. So
you say half like it's a bunch of them.
It's two. So right. That's half.
Say that shit like it's like a plethora of them. Like they're in abundance. Like they're the Wu-Tang Clan or something.
Not like Wu-Tang-esque. It's just since it's two of them. He wanted the two he has. But man, we got some things we're gonna talk about today. Of course, you know we got these topics. That's why we on this podcast. Some mentions that we got. We bring back the mentions. We had mentions in a minute, but I'll talk about a couple of people. Two of them we kind of expected to be talking like that. The third one we like, where did this come from? So Terry Crews talking about. I know we kind of late on it, but I want to talk about it anyway. His comments on what was Terry Crews' comments?
Black superiority. We talking about
Yeah. If you destroy white supremacy, what's that? Defeating white supremacy without white people creates black supremacy. So we're gonna get on him about that. Ben Carson talking about basically Ben Carson just want people to be nice and love America, and that will help racism go away. So we're gonna throw some rocks at him. Also, Muhammad Ali's son, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, his son. So Muhammad Ali's son said that Muhammad Ali would be supporting Trump and not the protest. So we're gonna throw some rocks at him because I don't know what the hell he talking. As far as topics, we're going to get into the Oluwatoye and Salau murder since hell is right in my backyard, so we need to talk about that. Also going to talk about in Minnesota that the police discovered 1,700 untested rape kits that span over a 30-year period. Trump signs an executive order on policing. Even though we got a lot of this police brutality going on, signs an executive order on policing to further help them. And then the last thing we're going to talk about, or the last thing, is this white disrespect or this fake white support that we're getting from corporations and individuals who never gave a shit about black people before. Now all of a sudden they give a shit. But we're going to put some perspective to it. And kind of, you know, well, not kind of, we're going to say, if you're not doing this specifically, then you're full of shit, and we're going to break it down for y'all. So, with that being said, we need y'all to put on y'all damn seatbelts, because the train about to start moving. And let's get this party started right. You ready, Pat?
Choo-choo. Choo, motherfucking choo. Choo, all aboard.
Whoop, whoop. All right, man. So let's
pull
start.
Over. With, oh, I'm sorry.
Let's start with the three dumb men: Terry Crews, Ben Carson, and Young Ali, Muhammad Ali's son. So, like I say, three of these gentlemen in the last couple of weeks have come out, made statements in support of white supremacy. Terry Crews is the one that is, I guess, the most apologetic his is less malicious than I would say Ben Carson's.
Yeah,
it's
less venomous.
Yeah, because yeah. Terry Crews just don't know no damn better.
Yeah, he think what he doing is helping.
Yeah.
And he think he having good ideas.
Yeah.
And he trying to be genuine, but he ignorant as shit.
Yeah, he don't understand what white supremacy is. He don't understand how white supremacy has a hold on him, in my opinion. So he's coming out because he's really trying to play both sides. He's trying to be down the middle so everybody will like him.
Right, right, right. Well, you know, I think what he's trying to do, honestly, is he's trying not to alienate his wife. That's what I think.
Why you say that?
Because his wife white.
No, she not.
She white-ish.
That lady
she
just,
is. You talking about Terry Crews, right?
She black. She just real light skin. Mm,
she married to him. She white.
Hey, so the whole quote Terry said is defeating white supremacy without white people creates black supremacy. So let's break that down. But black people have to have a will to be supreme, though. Did he forget about that?
Oh, shit, she is black.
I told you she was black.
I ain't even looked that up.
I told you she just real light skin. And she.
My bad. My apologies, Rebecca.
Yeah.
I thought she was white. All these
nah,
kids
don't be,
I've been thinking he married to a white chick.
I mean, disrespecting that lady like that. She just real light skin. See, why you ain't believe
you know
me? Because I was a black man? That's
no,
why you believe
you know,
me?
Hey, man, you got to check everything, bro. But that's my fault, though. I should have checked before I even said anything. I should have checked. So, my apologies. I own that.
You bigot?
Hey, you know. I ain't say nothing bigoted. Hold on now. Hold on. What I said could be, I don't even really, like, what I said was just ignorant and uninformed. I will totally wear that.
Yeah.
I'll totally wear that.
Well, that should be used to that in their household, huh? that's what we're talking about with Terry Crews.
I fit right in, right?
Because, I mean, like, think about it. Defeating white supremacy without white people creates black supremacy. Once again, don't black people have to have a will to be supreme?
Yeah, we do.
And we have to have the mechanisms to be supreme.
Well, that's the biggest piece. Like, ideology without mechanism is emptiness.
Because, I mean,
like, it has no meaning without real-world application.
I can go say I'm the king of all ants. But until I take over ants, I'm just talking.
Like, because if we're being real, like, that's one of the reasons why nobody cares about goddamn Billy Bob in the middle of Hicksville nowhere in an all-white town being a member of the KKK. Don't nobody give a shit about him because he ain't affecting black people. People care about KKK members that are, like, police officers or elected officials or people with power. Like, that's a whole different, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm with you. But so that's a very ill-informed statement. Also, he says, equality is the truth. Like it or not, we're all in this together. And the thing is, it's not necessarily equality. It's the abolition of white supremacy because equality means that everybody wants to be on the same level as white people. No, we don't. We want to end to oppression or end to white supremacy and end to racism. Like, white people can be where they are, but white people got where they were because of an unfair 400-year advantage off of free labor, off of black people. So we want a total abolition of white supremacy.
We want the freedom to self-define and self-express. like, it, we not asking nobody, well, I'm not asking nobody to give us nothing. I'm asking you to leave us the fuck alone and let us do what we do. Two different, like, stop getting in the fucking way.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, there are people that are asking for reparations, and do I feel like reparations are owed? Sure. But even in that, there's no amount of reparations that America could give black people that will put everybody on an even playing field. You can't just make up 400 years. Like, you can't.
That's it. And I'm going to say this again.
There's nothing that can be done.
I know I'm going to end up saying this again later on in the show, but there has to be an equal redistribution of wealth and power and resources. And if that's not going to happen, then white people, y'all ain't talking about that. So we're going to revisit that later. Terry Crews said what he said, Ben Carson basically telling black people the way to end what's going on now is that black people just need to love America. Now, somebody need to throw a rotten boiled egg at Ben Carson. Something wrong with that boy. Like, to be as brilliant of a surgeon as he is, he's a dumbass. And I don't get it.
I'm gonna keep saying it, bro. Just because you are good at your job doesn't mean that you're smart. And I don't care what your job is. You could literally be a rocket scientist and be the best rocket scientist in the world. That doesn't mean that you're across the board intelligent.
Well, yeah.
This,
we see. Yeah.
Ben Carson is one of the greatest neurosurgeons that's ever existed. The man is brilliant with his hands when it comes to that shit.
Yes, his hands, his book.
When it comes to literally, seemingly everything else, he's short but shorty.
Yeah, Ben Carson, he acts as if he was dropped on his head multiple times as a youth, and as a toddler or something, like somebody used drugs or something. That boy, that's stupid, man. But let's just be real. Ben Carson has become comfortable being a pet for white supremacists, and he wants to be favored in the eyes and minds of white supremacists and all the white people that he serves. So that's what he's trying to do. He, you know, like when you're watching the movies, you see that suck up, that sellout person who's not really all the way down with them, but they're just trying to secure a good place for themselves. That's Ben Carson. So, but what he don't realize is, you know, they always throw the pet away when they're done with it.
Right. Right. I mean, he's got it, like, you know, like you always saying, right? Like, they don't like you, bro. Like,
we don't like
you're a convenient tool. And that's going to be like, and I know it's off topic, but it has to be said. Whatever black woman Joe Biden picks to be his vice president, understand that you are in a token position and they don't like you. All right? So now I just want to get that out of the way, too.
Yeah, Joe Biden, at this point, Joe Biden has to have a black vice president if he wants black people to continue to look at him the way they look at him now.
Well, you know, Amy Klobuchar, soccer mom of America, since Sarah Palin fell out of favor, she removed her name from the vice presidential candidate selection pool because she said Joe Biden needs to pick a black woman as vice president. So he's going to pick one. We've known this for a while. If Joe Biden don't pick a black woman for president, for vice president, his campaign might very well be fucked.
Yeah.
But I just need whatever black woman he picked, whether it be Kamala Harris or whoever other, Stacey Abrams or whatever other black woman he picked.
Somebody was saying Keisha Lance Bottoms.
Whoever he picked, just understand that you ain't there because you're the first choice. And he don't like you. Not like that.
Yeah, to be real, he's just doing that because he wants to secure the black vote. And Trump is pretty much handing the presidency over to him, being the extra generational dumbass that he is. Yes, I said it like that, and I say it again, the extra generational dumbass.
Special, bro.
But to me, they like playing hot potato with the presidency. Both dumbasses, both throwing it back and forth to each other. I don't want it. So.
They're definitely taking turns on dumb shit. And in that, it's kind of interesting that the dumbest president in the history of presidents, and I feel very comfortable saying that, not saying Donald Trump is a dumb motherfucker, because I think Donald Trump is smarter than average, but I do think that he is the dumbest president we've ever had. It says a lot.
Because George Bush,
the dumbest president we've ever had, would pick arguably one of the most socially stupid black people that's ever been produced to be in a position of extreme power over so much of an organization that has so much to do with black people. This shit is just... You can't script this. This shit is amazing. Ben Carson is a special human being.
See how you brought that back?
I did.
Ben Carson is very special, man. He tries hard to make sure that white people know that he's fighting for them. He's down for them. I'm on your side, Mr. White Man. Don't just make sure you look out for me. He's a special dumbass, man. Like, he needs to grow up. Like, white people don't like you being Carson.
Mm-mm.
So for those who don't know, what the hell did Muhammad Ali's son say? Because you put me on this. So what the hell?
So basically, Ali Jr., who, as the article so eloquently pointed out, that he is... I think he is the fourth child out of Muhammad Ali's 10 children, where he had 9 and he adopted 1. He's the only boy that Ali had. And basically that he came out and said that his dad would not oppose the Black Lives Matter, would not support the Black Lives Matter movement because they're a racist movement. They've aligned themselves with Antifa, who should all be destroyed. White people, there are some bad cops, but most bad cops go to work every day doing a good job, and they just trying to get back home to see their family. Donald Trump is doing a good job. Muhammad Ali would absolutely support Donald Trump. Muhammad Ali would absolutely support All Lives Movement, because all lives matter, not just black lives. He basically gave the whole conservative right-wing spiel. But, what made it interesting was just that he said his dad would also feel that way.
Hey, man, I mean, bruh, can you blame him? I mean, look how Muhammad Ali opposed going to the Vietnam War, right?
Mm-hmm.
If Muhammad Ali did not support white supremacy, then why would he oppose going to the Vietnam War? Why would we have all this film of Muhammad Ali talking against white supremacy if he wasn't down with it? See, that's the mind trick he played on us then, right? Is I'm going to act like I'm against white supremacy while I'm alive. And then when my son reaches his prime, he could give people the real that, hey, my dad really support white supremacy, even though we got all this evidence of him not supporting white supremacy. But in the end, in these days of Donald Trump, because Trump is what black people have been waiting on, now the truth can finally come out that Muhammad Ali actually supports white supremacy via Donald Trump. And everything else was just smoke and mirrors. See, I get what he was saying.
You're right. Absolutely. He was playing a long game this whole time. See, we was being very short-sighted in our analysis. I get you. No, that makes total sense. Because even when Muhammad Ali made the statement that, about the snake analogy, it's a thousand snakes out there and few of them is poisonous, and he wasn't talking about white supremacy like he said he was.
He was talking about black people.
Language.
Yeah, he was talking about black people. Right.
He's talking about black people. So he had to keep all of the black ideology and all of that black stuff out of his home to protect his son so that when his son grew up, he could enlighten us. I get, bruh, that's genius.
Bruh, because his son nevertheless, is going to become the greatest black leader in the history of black leaders. And so he needs to pull the wool over our eyes so we can think that his dad is for us, and his dad really isn't at the same time. So how can you be is and isn't? What's how you say that when you is and isn't at the same time? What's the is it? So his dad was right? And so that's how we get his day, because he's gonna rise to power and he gonna end COVID.
Was it like isn't, right? So he already got the cure for COVID because his daddy locked it in a time capsule before he passed away and told him to, And then Trump, but Ali and Layla with the, and Tariq Nasheed and Kamala Harris with the backflip, Louisiana State, they'll take R. Kelly. Boom.
What?
I'm with you.
See, hey, bro, that's the smartest shit I've ever heard. I caught that.
I thought I lost you.
I caught that like Jerry Rice in the Super Bowl, cuz. Okay? Think about it. That's just like saying, that's the same thing as saying, I could put a boiled egg, wrap it up in foil paper, and put it in the microwave for 5 minutes. Boom. It's not really an explosion. It's your mind expanding.
You better say that. You better say that shit.
I'm telling you, bro.
Amen.
Hey, because Muhammad Ali's son is the next coming, bro. He gonna save black people from all of our self-imposed ills, because we don't realize how much white supremacy is out here to uplift us, man. I mean, think about how white supremacy has helped us over the past 400 years. Think about it. Before white supremacy came, man, black people living all good and stuff. Black people have empires and scholars and shit. Black people got their own countries, their own economies. Black people out here creating fucking languages and inventing all types of shit. And then white people come along and take that away from us. Why? Because, come on, we didn't need that. Who needs inventors? Come on, man. Bro, I get it.
Hey, bro.
I get it.
I'm with you when you're right, and you all the way right now.
He know what he was doing, man. Those are three wise men. Terry Crews, Ben Carson, and Muhammad Ali's son. The three wise men that was mentioned in the Bible. So now y'all know. Hey, bro. All we did for all our listeners is just show y'all how to expand y'all minds right now. See, because that's y'all problem. Y'all support black supremacy too much. Need to listen to Terry Crews and start going more toward equality than black people out here trying to empower themselves and trying to do things to better your communities when you could be bettering everybody's community at the same time rather than just concentrating on yourself. Like who does?
People always doing too much.
Bro, that'd be like, have you ever heard of the Chinese creating their own towns? Like around in different cities in America, just go. Imagine the Chinese creating Chinatowns around different places in America. That would be blasphemous, bro.
All right.
Now, Chinatown is like, racist.
Imagine the Italians creating little Italys. You know,
that'll never happen. Because they're not racist.
Right. They're not racist. They absolutely not. That's what, you know, I keep trying to tell all of my black friends that white people. Look at how generous they are. You know, they brought us to this country. You know, they gave us room and board and shelter. You know, they even gave us our first jewelry. Little known fact, the first chains and whips, jewelry, all that. The first pieces of metal black people ever had in their existence were given to them by white people. Love it, right? Right.
Yeah.
But we don't ever say thank you for giving me a chain or teaching me what a chain is. You know what I'm saying? Real shit. Think about it.
Hey. Man, look. Y'all can thank us later for helping y'all expand y'all mind. That's all I'm saying. Thank us later. Thank us later for helping y'all expand y'all mind. So.
But syphilis, gonorrhea, STD.
There you go. There it is, y'all. I mean, but them are mentions, though, man. We like to have fun. So there it is. Those are our mentions. Ben Carson, shut the fuck up. Terry Crews, shut the fuck up. Ali's son, shut the fuck up. All right. Y'all need
that's
to
how you going to tie that off?
Yeah. That's how I'm a transition. Y'all boys need to shut y'all asses up. Hey, man, so.
Well, all right.
On a more serious note, Oluwatoyin Salau was murdered not too long ago here in Tallahassee by a guy named Aaron Glee Jr. Right here in my city in our backyard, like it's been a couple killings up here in Tallahassee. I know Toyin's murder and Tony McDade's murders are the ones that are getting the most more of the headlines, but this Toyin's murder it started a lot of conversation around the country. The young lady lived an unfortunate life, and I said this behind closed doors, but I'm gonna say this on here. A lot of people need their ass whooped. And this who was in this lady's life, this young girl's life. Like a lot of people failed her. Now, I'm not gonna lie, because before we get into the details, I'm not gonna lie. I was scrolling through social media and I saw the comedian Kev on stage. And I get where he was going with it, but I don't agree with the execution and what he said. So, because he put on social media, Toyin, us black men failed you. And as somebody who lives here in this Tallahassee community, I was like, well, no. She was failed by a community of people. You can't just put that on men. I understand you're trying to say it's men's job to protect women, but she was failed by a community of people. Some in her family, some in her circle of friends, and some strangers and some acquaintances. She was failed by a whole community of people because she had a lot of tragedy in her life. She was a victim of sexual assault. She was a victim of sex trafficking. She was a victim of physical abuse, verbal abuse, mental abuse. And a lot of that culminated with her untimely and tragic death at the hands of Aaron Glee, who tied her up in such a way that it killed her over time. Because Aaron Glee that night killed two women, killed Toyin and the lady Sims. And Toyin, she was, I believe this was one of her first times protesting. I'm not sure. I can't really confirm that. But I believe she may have been one of her first time protesting. I know she was 19, so she was a young person. But I don't know what she did in her early teens. But on some national scale like this, and she was outspoken, and you have a lot of video footage of her speaking out at the different protests and things, but her death was tragic. And it's real fucked up the way she went out. The way she was taken out, rather. And just trying to get some thoughts on this. What are your thoughts, Pat, on let me first ask, how much of the details do you know?
What I read about, I did read her Twitter feed.
Mm-hmm.
And I read some of the stories linked about the dude that they brought into custody. And then I read, you know, another story. I haven't seen it confirmed anywhere, but I did read another story that said that the dude confessed.
Right.
So, I don't know how much information is out there, but I would say that I've read and consumed a good chunk of what's available, readily available to the public.
Yeah. So, you know, like I said, I'm here in Tallahassee, so I've been able to talk to people who either knew her or had encounters with her, had conversations with her, plus tweets that she put out, tweets friends put out, and a lot of the information that's come out. So for those who don't know, what was the exact date? The 6th, June 6th, Toyin was reported missing. There was a march over on Houghton Street. Houghton Street is one of the black communities in Tallahassee. The march was for the death of Tony McDade. And I know after that march, Toyin, through her tweets, told us that she got into a car with a guy in a white Chevy Silverado who took her to some grand white duplex apartments, and she was sexually assaulted there and was able to get away once the guy left. I mean, once the guy went to sleep. But also, this incident with Aaron Glee, she was with Glee at a bus stop. They were conversing. I think it was at the downtown bus stop. And the white lady Sims came and picked them up. So from Glee's confession, Glee said Sims came and picked them up. He said Glee told investigators that after arriving at his house, Salau took a shower. He tried to have sex with her, but she said no and tried to fight him off. He stated that she physically resisted him and that she bit him upon his right forearm during the struggle. Glee overpowered her. He was asked if he would characterize his actions as rape, and he said yes. Glee said he kept Salau tied up in the prison in his home for 3 to 5 days, but wasn't sure how long because he was heavily under the influence of alcohol. He said he released her at times to eat and bathe. He admitted sexually assaulting her numerous times during those 3 to 5 days. Glee, who was who has a prison record dating back decades, worried that if he let her go, he'd go back to prison. And so basically, he ultimately killed her for fear of going back to prison. He killed her and Sims for fear of going back to prison. So she ended up going with Glee and Sims back to Glee's house. So Glee has been arrested and has confessed to the murder of Salau and Sims. And this is just some bullshit, man, for me. I see it's her story is a national story now. There are a lot of people talking about it. Her name even ended up in the song with the girl, No Name, with her reply to J. Cole, which I felt like, yeah, you didn't have to do that. That didn't have to happen. Can we not do this? But I don't know. Maybe that's just me, man. Maybe I could be wrong, but I feel like with what happened to her, how tragic of a life she's had, certain things we should leave her name out of. That just, I could be wrong, but. Go ahead.
The whole No Name thing, I think, is a whole other, like, that's a separate show, I guess, or topic
right.
or whatever.
Right.
Because I disagree with that whole thing, and I think No Name was wrong for what she did and how she went about and proceeded to carry through with it. But the story is tragic. I mean, it's real tragic. This young lady had a real sad life. And even with that, I know Kev on stage, I agree with you. He put out the video saying, black men, we've got to do better.
I get it to a degree, but if you when you read the details to this, I'm not understanding exactly how black men could have protected her outside Aaron Glee not doing what the hell he did, or the black men who was assaulting her. They need their asses whooped. They do, but I'm not sure what level of protection he was speaking of, according to all the details that was presented to us.
Well, that goes into where we, you know, people get to talking about, people just get to saying cliche shit for attention. And I'm not saying that's what Kev on stage was doing. I think Kev on stage was coming from a genuine place.
I do too.
But people tend to just regurgitate shit without really thinking about what it means or how it applies to whatever situation they're referring to. So in this case with Toyin, the fact of the matter is, there wasn't much that black men could have done to protect her outside of this one black man not doing what he did. Because the deal with protection is, and this is where I think more dialogue needs to be had, nobody can protect you if you don't give them the opportunity to protect you.
Like, yeah, we had this conversation.
Yeah, like, so I fully agree and acknowledge that black women need to be better protected. Black men are not doing enough to protect our black sisters and our black mothers and our black wives and blah, blah. And not just us, but I'm talking about in general, because I do feel like a lot of black men will protect the women in their family, but stepping out of the box and protecting other women, like even women you don't know.
We definitely got to step our game up on that.
Because, and you know, we've been seeing a lot of the videos about, you know, with groups of black men throwing black women in dumpsters.
Yeah, them boys.
Doing all of this other stuff.
Oh, them boys. Oh, I ain't gonna lie. That shit pissed me off. I want to fight all the motherfuckers, man.
Well, you know what really upset me was the dude that, you know, hit the lady in the face with the...
Yeah. Dog, it's some bitch-made-ass dudes out here, man. What the hell? You see a group of dudes throwing a female in the garbage can. You're like, what the fuck? Then you see, like, the video of the dude with the skateboard, my first time it was no audio, so I thought he hit a guy. And I was like, man, that's fucked up. But then once I got all the details, he got mad because the chick didn't want to holler at him, and he hit in the face with the skateboard. I'm like, and so on that, so we agree that black women need to be protected better. We agree that there's too many fuck boys out here. But and that Kev was saying that day, I was looking at it sideways because it's like I'm not sure.
No, but that's the thing, right? So we can agree that both things are true, and in general, black men do need to step up better. But in this case, you know, you got to be able to say, this is where black men fail her. This is where black men fail her. And we can point to instances throughout her life where both black men and black women fail her.
Right.
It becomes a community failure, like you said.
That's why I was.
But and to point the finger at one part of the community and not, you know, have the other side also accept responsibility for it, that's not progress. Like, that's not beneficial.
Because especially when I'm reading information and, you know, some of the information out there is her family was either a part or in on some of the sexual abuse she was facing, or they knew about it and nobody did anything about it. Like, members of her family, male and female. So that's why I say the community and the family failed her. Like, not just one section, the community and her family failed.
Right. I mean, the fact that she was homeless.
Right.
She was at the rally. She had friends. If I got a homeboy or a homegirl and I got a home and they're homeless, they're not homeless. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can come kick it with me. Don't worry. Like, we'll work all of this shit out. Once you get to my house, we can work that out later. Step one is getting you off the street.
Yeah.
So even to that, I'm like, okay, she's homeless. Like, so never mind. So, you know, we get into the decision-making and all of that, but the fact of the matter is the community as a whole failed her and have been continuously failing her throughout her entire life. I think it's very admirable that even with community failure, she was still out there protesting and doing what she could. Like, that is fucking amazing to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw something, a couple of videos when people were saying how tragic it is that she was out there fighting, you know, protesting for George Floyd and things, but she was killed by a black man. And yes, she was killed by a black man. And not trying to make no excuses for Aaron Glee, but this guy had mental health issues. And a lot of people who are quoted in articles, who are claiming that they helped, they were out to help him, didn't help him. And we have evidence. Now, I know it's a lot more information that I know, but I can't speak on. But I know it's a lot of people out here. It's people out here who have been quoted multiple times in articles, local and national, who out here lying. And you can see the inconsistencies in the articles. And we have documented information to show inconsistencies. But we do know Aaron Glee had mental health issues, and attempts were made to get him help. It just didn't happen.
And disturbed brother.
Yeah. So it was, and that's not excusing anything he did, but he did have mental health issues. It was tragic. It was tragic because, I mean, it is the truth. She was fighting. She was, you know, at the protest and, you know, fighting for black men and women. But she was tragically killed by a black man, and that's a sad part. It is a truth, but another truth is Aaron Glee did have mental health issues. But I think I don't know, man, because I'm as I'm scrolling through social media, I'm kind of conflicted because I feel like they're like her name is out here and people are saying her name now, but she'll be forgotten in a few months, and nothing different will happen. That's how I feel, because that's what usually happens. So I've just been asking myself, what can I do different? How could I think different? Like, what can I do different in this situation? That as far as the outcome of this situation with her, that's what I'm thinking for myself. Because I'm at a point where I really don't know, man. I really don't know.
I think that's the point that a lot of us are at, because, like, when we were in the chat with, you know, the group of women that we converse with about things like gender roles and stuff like that, and these are feminist women that we talk to. But, you know, like, there has to be a total change in the culture, because I've seen women walking on the side of the road late at night, knowing that there's nothing I can do to help them. I'll pull over and offer them, hey, can I give you a ride somewhere? And, of course, I'm going to get rejected. I get rejected 100% of the time. And I don't even, you know, I don't blame them for that. Duh. Why wouldn't you reject? You don't know me. But at the same time, if I call the police to say, hey, there's, all right, now I run the risk of the police showing up and fucking some shit up. I've offered my phone and had my phone refused. You know, I've offered to call people and had people say, no, thank you, I'm fine. Which I understand, if you keep pressuring, once somebody says, no, thank you, I'm fine, you've crossed the line.
Right.
So, you know, you're not going to get in the car. I don't want to call the cops, because a lot of my female friends have had really horrible run-ins with the cops. You won't take my phone. You won't give me a number to call. And if I follow you, I've crossed the line. So as a upstanding male trying to do what he can to make things right, what can I do in a situation like that to help the sister get to where she needs to get safely? I don't have an answer to that.
Well, and I've been in a situation where We expect women to turn us down. So it's hard to help women you don't know. It's very hard to help women you don't know, because you don't want women just going with strangers. And see, that's one of the conflicting things about this with Toya, because I don't want to sound like I'm blaming her for anything, because she shouldn't be blamed for anything. But a couple moves she did make, she did go with strange men. And those were not the best moves to make. She did go several occasions. She did go with strange men.
But that's where you get into the challenge we're having, where in a situation like that, I would be a strange man.
Right.
But I wouldn't do anything to her. But how does she know that? So if she gets in the car with somebody trusting that they're not going to harm her and they harm her, we're looking at her funny. But at the same time, if she doesn't get help, and you see the conundrum,
yeah,
if she doesn't get help.
Right.
Because
it's two-sided. It's two-sided. But, see, I look at it different. Yes, her going with a strange man isn't the best move, but that doesn't give that strange man the license to be that asshole. That don't give you a license.
Oh, no,
to be
absolutely
a
not.
And so they're still to blame for their own actions. But everybody's not going to look at it like that.
Well, but that's where I go into the two-sidedness of it all, because absolutely he is to blame for what he did. But how does she know that I'm not him?
Right. She don't know, and that's why she shouldn't go with you. But
right.
Once again, but
on the other
hand, that makes it difficult for us to help.
Right, and that's where I'm going to. Like, I understand why she didn't. Why women would turn a man down, especially a strange man with the times we live in. I get it. But as a man, like looking at this situation specifically, what am I supposed... Now, obviously, in this situation, it's different because she seemed like the type of woman that would have gotten in the car. So that's different. If she had been with a stand-up dude, not a fuckhead, she would have got where she needed to go safely.
Yeah, because also she was from a lot, some of the information I come across, she was sex trafficked. So if she's been sex trafficked, her getting in the car with strange men is nothing new. It's nothing out
right.
of the ordinary. And so her perception would be a bit different than other women because she's been sex trafficked. And so it's an unfair conditioning that she went under.
And to be fair, a lot of our sisters are being sex trafficked, and that is something I think men can. We got a couple problems that we as a group need to sit down and group think and problem solve on. The condition of our women is one. Now, I'm totally with you that every time a bad thing happens to a black woman, that doesn't mean that it's a failure of black men. I disagree with that
right.
narrative totally. But I do think, you know, like black men need to sit down and have some really difficult conversations on a local communal level about how you're going to make things better for the black women in your community. Like, how are you going to make them safer? Like, you know, be that community gatherings where everybody get to know everybody. I think that's a solution that's very viable and possible. It might take a couple months. But, you know, if you implement in the community development plan from PACS, you are already in the works of doing that. So you're looking at a neighborhood of a couple hundred people in some of the largest neighborhoods. You might get close to 1,000 people in a single neighborhood. But in that, the human brain has the capacity to be familiar with all of those faces and all of those people. So in a small neighborhood, like a small community like Tallahassee, where you might have a couple hundred people in the community, you know, you could find yourself in a space where the women are familiar with all of the men and all of the men are familiar with all of the women. But that, like, work has to be done to get there, if that makes sense.
Straight up. Yeah, I mean, we have a communal issue, and we need to start looking at things on communal levels, but I do think...
Right.
Men do need to, because we've been talking about this for years. We need to get better. We need to take care of men issues, and women need to take care of their women issues. But
right,
I don't know, man.
It's two-sided, like you keep saying.
It is. It's deep. It's deeper than a lot of the rhetoric that's put out that people just want to just put out because it's easy to put that out and say it. But and you can start a lot of conversation. And you can get a lot of people agreeing with you, but that don't necessarily mean that's the gospel and that's what's needed to be followed because it's not going to necessarily get to the solution. But
right.
I don't know, man. This one. Go ahead.
Because on the other end, we also got to, like, and this might be bad timing, but I'm going to say it anyways. And I'll use myself as an example. At this point, after I did my show on male sexual abuse, children's sexual abuse, because I was abused as a child, not as a grown man. But I never gave my mom or any of the adult women in my life a chance to stand up for me. I never gave anybody in my life a chance to stand up for me. Because I never said anything until I was old enough to fend for myself. And even then, I still, like, there are a lot of people in my family that still don't know. I still haven't had a sit down with my mom about it. So, like, in that instance, it would be easy for me to tell my story for people to listen to it and make the assumption, oh, well, where was his mom? Where was his dad? Well, why didn't they protect him? And the fact of the matter is, they didn't know. They had no idea that it was happening. And they had no reason to think that it would be happening. I don't know who these people are to think that adults are just walking around, you know, letting people sexually abuse their kids. But I'm not saying it doesn't happen. Right. But I'm saying that most of the cases that I'm familiar with, the adults genuinely just don't know that it's happening. And because it's happening from a family member or somebody close to the family, a friend of the family, they don't suspect that it's happening. But if I don't give those people a chance to know what's happening and to take a stand and protect me, I can't turn around and accuse them of not defending me. And I feel like that happens a lot in the black community, where the community is not given a chance to help somebody, and then something bad happens, and everybody's like, the community should have been more helpful. And in the Toyin case, just to clarify, this is a lot of what the pushback was to what Kev on stage said, was, we're not disagreeing with you. Like, black women need to be defended better. Black men need to do a better job of that. But on the other end, where were black men specifically given an opportunity to save her life?
Yeah.
We're not talking about the fuckhead that killed her.
Well, I would say, outside of that I know of from the information, the men in her family who according to some of the information.
That goes back to the communal issue, because that's also the women in her family.
Right. And so she should have gotten help a long time ago. And she didn't. And not saying that she, and when I say I don't mean she should have gotten help, it should have been people there to help her, whether it was family members, friends, or whoever. Because I'm not sure, because I saw one girl who claimed to be her friend with a series of tweets on Twitter saying that she knew about the abuse. And so my immediate thought went to where, well, what did you do to help? So, it's a communal issue. But I think it's dangerous to just say, hey, because I could take that and say, hey, well, women let her down, which would be bullshit, because she was let down by more than just women, though. She was let down by women and men. She was let down by the community, once again. Her family and the community. Right. According to all the
information that we got. Everybody that would stand up and say, I knew this young lady, I knew what was going on with her before all of this happened, I was her friend, blah, 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 blah. All of those people are the ones that, you know, we should be pointing the finger at. Not abstract people all over the country that didn't even know what was going on. Not even people in her local community that didn't know what was going on. Because I'm sure a lot of people saw her for the first time
at the protest.
At the event.
Right. But see, once again, nobody cared about her life until she went missing either.
Right.
Her friends, the people who knew her did, but the majority of people who were saying her name, and they should be saying her name, but before she went missing, she was just another protester.
But here's the deal. And this is where I say friendship is a big word. It's an important word. It's a significant word. I've had three friends of mine commit suicide. And after each one of those suicides, I had me and everybody else that I knew was friends with them, we had to take a self-assessment. What did we miss? What could we have done better? How could we better support each other in order to prevent it from happening again? That's an internal, local type situation. We didn't have that conversation with the whole world. We didn't have that conversation with everybody that might have knew them. We had that conversation amongst us because we knew that we missed something, you know. And even if you want to say you probably didn't miss nothing because maybe your friend was just ready to go, that's totally possible as well. But as a friend, I still take ownership of that enough to say I should have, you know, like I'm going to be better prepared to notice whatever I need to notice next time. Consequently, at this point, I don't, like the friends that I have now, if I'm ever unsure, if they make a suicide joke, like, yo, you good? You straight? Yeah, man, I was just bullshitting. All right. You know what I'm saying? Like, those sorts of changes. Like, all of these people that are saying that they were her friend, those are the people that I'm looking at to be like, you failed her. The people that are saying that I'm her friend, I'm her family, I'm this, I'm that, woe is me, I'm sad, I'm hurt by the loss. You should be, because you failed her. And I don't care how people feel about what I said. You could take it personally. You should take it personally. You could take offense to it. Maybe you should do that too. But the fact of the matter is, if you knew this girl and you knew she was in those conditions and you didn't do shit, you're a horrible person.
Yeah. Nah, I agree. I don't know. I just feel like I wish I could have done more, even though I know there's no way I pretty much could have because I didn't know her. But I wish more could have been done to help her where she could still be alive. I wish more could have been done to help Aaron Glee to where he didn't have to go off like that. Like, that didn't have to happen. So, shit's just, I just be thinking about it all the time because it didn't have to happen. Things could have been done differently. But this is tragically how it ended up. And I don't know, man. I've been doing a lot of work and stopping sexual and domestic violence. And I ain't gonna lie, man. Even in like my work in sexual and domestic violence, my work in fighting racism, and my work in fighting STDs, sometimes I be feeling like, man, I'm like, this bitch ain't doing shit. Like, my shit ain't hitting on nothing. That's what I be feeling like a lot of times, because it's like, it's not, I feel like shit ain't slowing down. So it's just like,
it's not.
And are my efforts just trash? I mean, I know everything ain't on me, but like, damn, like, stuff ain't slowing down.
Right, and that's something that a lot of people have to deal with. Struggle with a little bit. You know, the fact of the matter is, like you said, one person isn't going to solve it all. But, you know, like, we're faced with a scenario where certain behavior is encouraged more than it's discouraged. And where you have more bad people doing, or more neutral people doing the bad shit than you have anybody doing the good shit. And that's not even including, like I said, the nefarious or the malicious people with ill intent that are doing the bad shit. And as long as that's the paradigm, things are going to keep getting worse. Like, there's not anything any one person can do to change this shit. It's it's called the system for a reason. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's what I do want a lot of people to, because a lot of these protesters and these people out here fighting the good fight right now, this is their first, this is their entrance, really. They ain't done shit before. They don't know how this shit works. That's why a lot of them think that this is new and different. And a lot of them are going to take on this mantra, this persona that, you know, like they have to solve everything. Like their
generation. That shit ain't going to happen. That shit ain't going to happen. Right. Like you can't put it on one generation to solve centuries of. Look, America was fucking founded on murder, rape, stealing, and all these things. That's what America was founded on. Well, like, we literally have to start this bitch over. Like, America has to be started over if we're going to fix racism. White people have to be willing to give up. I told you we back here. And let me just say this real quick. I know we said we got a couple more topics, but apparently this topic is important enough for us to keep talking about it. So I'm bad about that, but damn it, we're on a good roll, so we ain't fucking that up. But America has to be started over. America has to be started over, because if we don't, we're going to continue to try to build something good on a bad foundation. And we'll never get to the point where we're really solving things from the root, because the root hasn't been dealt with. You got to deal with what made America America. And until we do that, we're going to be here. And you can't expect one generation to end racism. That's not going to happen. Because a lot of people think the young ones out protesting now are going to be ones who end racism. I don't believe they're going to be able to end racism until the generations above them are willing to end racism.
Yeah, I mean, they said that in the 60s. They were saying that. Like, this generation, like, every generation for the past 100 years is supposed to have been the generation that was going to end racism. It's kind of like when you talk to Christians and they say, are we in the end times? Well, shit, we've been in the end times for the last 2,000 years. Like, so that whole thing, I feel like, is another one of those cliche things that people say, but they don't really think it through. You know what I'm saying? Like, even with people saying this is this generation's civil rights movement, like, really think about what you just said. You know, you basically just said the civil rights movement, every generation from now forward is going
to
have
one.
Their civil rights movement. That basically means that this shit ain't going to change. That's basically
right.
What you just admitted.
And that means that the civil rights movement didn't actually achieve a lot of stuff that y'all saying it achieved. If every generation is having one, you shouldn't have more than one fucking civil rights movement.
Right. Right. But that's, again, people just say stuff, but they don't really think about what they're saying. And so, like, even so, and for the people that just don't understand, like, even with, like, what you mean when you say this country needs to start over, for me, I feel like there's a cultural reset button that needs to be pressed. I'm not talking about personally. I'm not talking about, like, everything in America needs to be scrapped, like, literally, and we all just need to sit down and come up with a new system of blah, 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 because if you build a new system, but is the same culture of white supremacy exists, then you're going to have the same fucking problems. So, for me, if you ever hear me say everything needs to start over and be rebuilt from scratch, I'm talking about culturally. Everything culturally needs to be reset. You know, and the only way to do that is education, which basically means educationally, everything needs to be reset. All of the curriculums that the teachers are teaching from need to be rewritten, need to be scrapped. All of the standards, the standardized tests, the ways we get into college, the ways we educate, the information we've decided was important enough to pass, all of that shit needs to be scrapped and redone from the ground up.
Yeah.
You can leave the monetary system alone. Hell, you might even be able to leave the political system alone to a certain extent. You definitely need to make changes to certain things. But America as a whole could still continue to exist. Just the culture of being an American needs to be reset.
It has to be reset because this culture of being an American is oppressive. It was founded in oppression. It was rooted in oppression. So it needs to be redone. We got to start this bitch over. And if we ain't about starting this bitch over, then we ain't serious about changing a lot of the things that happen in America or changing how America exists or everything about it. Like, you're going to have these culture of violence all the time, sexual violence, domestic violence. You're going to have people killing people. You're going to have men being abusive to women. You're going to have women being abusive to men. You're going to have all this shit. You're going to have women fighting women, women fighting men, men fighting men, women. Like, America was founded on this bullshit. Why do people keep expecting to grow flowers out of a fucking, out of soil that's tainted with the worst chemicals ever, the worst poison ever? You expect some great flowers to grow out of that shit. It's not.
Because people don't necessarily want to do the legwork to retail the soil. I mean, you're using farming analogies, which are perfect, because most people don't want to fucking be a farmer. Like, that's too much fucking work.
Like,
farmers
like,
put in major work, man.
10 years ago, when I first started, no, 2009, when I first started doing sexual domestic violence prevention, I had to do my first presentation and I talked about the history of rape. And white women got mad at me because I told the history of rape, which had to include slavery. Now, nobody had a problem with me when I was talking about what was happening to white women, but as soon as I started talking about what's happening to black women, people had a problem with me. But that's a micro example of the bigger issue. People don't want to deal with the shit that made America America. That's how we get to this. Like that's why we are here talking about this, what we're talking about today. Like, a lot of people may not understand how the origins of racism end up with Toyin, but it is like sexual and domestic violence comes with that. It comes with that, like the way black people, the way we look at each other, the way we treat each other, the way we think about each other, the way we talk about each other, a lot of it directly comes from slavery, from what the way white people taught us how to get down. So, and that's why I don't know, man, even though I know it's not on me to save everybody, I wish I could have been there with her to whoop that man ass. I really do.
I think all stand-up dudes do. I mean, it's impossible to read her story, to hear about what all she went through, and then to read how her life ended. And she's a fucking baby. Like, she's fucking young.
Yeah, man, but she had so, like, to hear the passion in her voice, like, you can hear the anger and the hurt and all of the things in her voice when she was on the videos that they have of her saying Black Lives Matter and everything. You can hear it in her voice, but it's like, if you, like, nobody knew. I was
no,
talking
people
to...
knew.
Well, no, not enough. Bad. Well, some of her friends knew. Some of her friends knew. Now, Lauren, you know, Ms. Dice, Lauren, she actually ran into her out in the streets, and Lauren was telling me about a conversation she was having with her, different things, and just, talking to people who either knew her or had interactions with her, from what they're telling me, they could tell that, now looking back, they can tell that a lot of the abuse in her life was taking a toll on her. And some even believe it was taking a toll on her mental stability and her mental condition. But if you've been going through trauma, it would take a toll. It would have an effect on if you're going through trauma. Hey, man, we didn't mean this whole episode to be dedicated to this, but shit, it is what it is, man. Maybe it just needs to be talked about. Maybe we just need to talk about it. Talk it out, man.
Hey, I mean, I'm with it. You know, there's been a lot of, especially with the gender discussions that we've been having, And there's a lot to unpack with that. Racism, white supremacy, the way it's affecting black men, the way it's affecting black women. And the reason I say it like that before we get canceled is because M come before W in the fucking alphabet. So, anyways. But, you know, the way it affects black females, the way it affects black males, it's totally... And then even the way we interact with each other, like all of that is shaped by white supremacy. And that's something that, you know, we gotta deal with. And this whole, the whole situation with this young lady and the way we responded to it as a community, with some people using her as a rallying cry against black men, some people using her as a rallying cry against racism, white supremacy, other people using it as a rallying cry against mental health in the black community. Like, there are a bunch of different ways you can twist this and use the narrative, but nobody's really, I don't think, really digging deeply into, like, the impact this is having on black men and black women and how we relate to each other on a whole. You know what I'm saying? Like, because all of this shit is taking its toll.
It has. The relationship between black women and black men is nationally, it's not healthy. There are a lot of healthy aspects about the relationship between black men and black women, but as a whole, we can see we have issues that need to really be fixed. So, I mean, that's where we at with me, man. We have to get to a point to where we can heal together. Absolutely. We have to. Like, we need black women. Look, we need y'all. As black men, we need y'all. And we know y'all need Absolutely. Us. We need each other. And we got to make sure we're doing our best to improve our relationships with each other.
Absolutely.
Damn, I can see what's crazy about the story with Toya, man. Like, a couple of weeks ago, I went to this Haitian restaurant to get some food, and I saw the flyer of her missing on the counter, so I took a picture of it and shared it on social media. And in my mind, I was like, man, I was expecting them to find her alive. But that's me not ever hearing about her, not ever knowing anything about her, not knowing none of the details. I just saw a flyer of a young black girl who was missing and decided I want to help spread the word about it, not knowing it was going to come to all of this. So.
Yeah. I mean, it's my whole thing has just been, because, you know, we do a lot of talking with independent black women, with feminist black women, strong black women, whatever label you know, they want to call or they want to have or whatever label people want to put on them on that day of the week. And the interactions have been getting increasingly like men ain't shit. You know, obviously, you know, we're getting the exclusionary treatment. Like, men ain't shit. I mean, y'all cool, but other men.
But what I want a lot of the women to understand is, first of all, we hear you all, and by no means will we ever try to discount your experiences, but making broad generalizations don't help either, because as a black man, it would be irresponsible for me to make a broad generalization about black women based off my personal experiences. Because I've seen black people do some fucked up shit to each other.
Absolutely.
And so, and I could take my experiences and make grand generalizations about black women. I could make grand generalizations about black men. I could take my experiences and be afraid of black people. But I know I'd be making false generalizations. You can't paint everybody with a broad stroke. The shoe don't fit for everybody. So we're not taking away nobody's experiences. your experience was your experience, and it was a bad experience. You experienced some fuck boys. But at the same time, that's not all black men. And even just giving the compliment to the ones that you know, that don't make us feel good, to be honest. Like, we hear you all, but it really don't make us feel good.
No, in a lot of ways, it's like the token Negro treatment. Like, when you're around a bunch of white people and they say, man, I don't understand black people. I mean, I get you, like, but you're not like the rest of them.
You're like, no, bit, yes, I am.
And it's like, right, it's like, no, I kind of am like the rest of them, so I don't know what you're getting at, but thank you, I guess. That's what I'm supposed to say, right? Thank you? Yeah. Because obviously, like, most of the dudes I know are stand-up dudes. I won't even say most. All of the dudes that I know and hang around with are stand-up dudes. Ain't no fuckboys in my circle. That doesn't mean that fuckboys don't exist. But
right.
To me, they're not a majority. Like, they're not prevalent to me. Now, we can get into all kinds of discussions about relationships, and we could be the next Derrick Jackson or the next Farrah Gray or the next Steve Harvey or whatever and make all of these assumptions and say, well, the problem is men and blah, blah, whoop, whoop, with the men and the men with the men and the problem is all y'all women keep chasing after the same five dudes and those five dudes are fuckboys. Right? You're like, it'd be easy to say that, but I don't know that doesn't help either.
Yeah.
Because then you're minimizing the experiences that all of these women have had. So I think we just need to come to the table. Everybody needs to come to the table with their mature hat on. Leave your anger at the door. I'm not saying you can't come in angry, but you should be able to communicate through it. Like, if you're so seething mad that you can't comprehend, understand, or speak, then, you know, you might need to chill out somewhere until you calm down. But I do think people need to calm down and start talking. And I'm speaking specifically to people in the black community. Like, you need to just calm the fuck down and start talking. Again, specifically within the black community, I think we've done enough talking to these white folks. If I'm being
talking. We don't need to talk. We don't need to say shit to white people. I don't even understand what the fuck kind of conversation we need to have. Bitch, you either going to treat me like a fucking human being or you not. What the fuck we talking about? I have to give you my all my bad experiences for you to treat me like a human being? If you that type of white person, we ain't got shit to talk about. I'm not finna sit down. What am I telling you? I have to convince you to treat me like a human? What?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Mm-hmm.
So, because that's like me as a man saying, well, you know, I never fight sexual violence against women until I sit down with a woman and she explains to me how she been raped. That's some fuck shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's some fuck shit. I don't need to have those conversations to treat somebody like a fucking human being.
So. I agree. Wholeheartedly.
But man, you know, we ain't gonna stretch this episode out too much long. I know we're on here for a hot minute though, but we just had to get it out, man. The other topic, what other topics we had?
I don't even remember.
I said Trump signed an executive order, the Minneapolis police discovering over 1,700 rape kits, white disrespect, massive black support. So we'll get to those topics later. But we just had to get it out. We had to get this out about Tory and then what we're talking about now because it's in my backyard. It's in my city. I feel bad about it. And just as black men, we just want to continue to show our support to black women. But just get stuff out and open, have real conversations about this, man. So, Pac-Man, what you got any parting shots, man?
I put on for my city, on for my city. I put on for my city, on for my city. I put on.
Yeah. I put on for my town. I put on.
Righty, mate. I put on for my city, yo. I put on for my city.
That is. Hey, man, my parting shot is, let's do better, man. Let's do better. Let's get right and do better. So with that being said, I am Joseph Ward. He is Patrick Irvin. This is the Freedom Train podcast series right here on the Freedom Train Network at www.freedomtrainradio.com. Download this episode and every other episode and spread the word. Tell a friend to tell a friend. With that being said, two fingers in the air like a player because we up out of here. Yeah, man. Peace.
Shoot. I'm just nobody like Dave.